It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez.
Oh my God.
It starts now.
Yes, that's the sigh of the morning after last night's loss in Toronto. It was that game where it showed you what they need. It was a good game for a barometer because it showed you everything the Sixers needed. It was a blueprint for Elton Brand that they need a backup point guard. And, you know, the Fultz thing just kills you. Kills you because in a game against Toronto, TJ can't play 22 minutes. It's too many minutes. And he got exposed. You have Joe being completely gassed. You got Ben with the turnover bug. You got the inability to score in a half court. You need another wing. You need a backup big. You need a backup point. And that's the difference between the last 6 minutes, Chase.
Yeah, you're right. It exposed them last night. And you said an interesting term. You said, we learned last night that they need, and you went on, you know, a backup point guard. And I don't understand why Embiid was gassed last night. I guess that just happens. Sometimes your legs just don't get there. And maybe a three-day break on occasion actually is not a great thing for a professional athlete. Sometimes you can play three games in 4 days and have your legs every night. And then sometimes you have a break and you come back and you never get your legs. And he didn't have them last night.
No, it was weird. It was one of those games where you thought, because they played Friday, they played Sunday, and then off 2 days. And I don't know, the rhythm. Every once in a while that happens to him.
Yeah.
He gets...
And big men it happens to, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it'll happen to Joe. When, you know, you saw in the playoffs at times. Like, when he's got his wind and he's playing, he's unstoppable, right?
Yeah.
We know that. You saw from the start, he didn't have his legs. He was not a beast on the glass, right? He gave up a ton of offensive rebounds. He said it after the game, I suck. He was right. He goes, you know, I've been playing like trash. So, like, he's saying that.
Didn't get to the line.
No.
Energy.
It's energy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's true. In fact, we were talking, all of us, including our promotions maven, Mike, and we were talking about how big men can wear him out. Certain style of guys.
Yeah.
Valanciunas, who Valanciunas loves.
Sure.
Valanciunas is a guy like that who will wear on him, and he wore on last night. So you have that.
Big and heavy, that Valanciunas. Like, he's a big, thick, heavy guy. That just wears you down.
Yeah.
It's a heavy game.
And he doesn't want to go. And the problem is, against guys like him, you know, where's his advantage? His advantage is out from the basket. So, and that's what's a killer. He's not going to the line. Like, you still got to be able to go down and post up guys like that.
Yeah. Well, the thing that disturbed me last night, Anthony, look, the game was, it was a competitive game. It was back and forth, and Toronto just wore him out by the end. I get it. And if Embiid had his A game and Simmons had his A game, maybe we're having a different conversation today. But you also got to look at Toronto and say, well, they forced both those guys into being limited in their ability to affect the game. The thing that disturbed me was the reaction of the fan base. And, like, Embiid isn't trying hard, you know, and Simmons never going to be. It's the fatalistic mentality of fans based on a game.
Yeah, you can't. You have to look at it like, all right, we learned what we need, right? What we're short. I mean,
very educational night.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. They were already a player short with the trade, right? Then they're another player short with Fultz. So you got to figure out, like, what you need. Like, you need a backup big, you need a backup point guard, and you need somebody else, like, who could shoot it, like a Trevor Ariza or somebody like that. Right? Like, because they're half court. When playoff happens, it's why I've always had this argument with Brett, like, where you go back and forth about the playoffs. Like, sooner or later, you got to deliver in the half court. Now, they have an assassin in Jimmy Butler.
And he was great last night.
All right? But you still need to work with Ben in the half court. That's his biggest problem right now, is that when Ben's in the half court, too many turnovers, and the offense is stagnant. I mean, did you see movement?
Not enough.
No.
Yeah, it just wasn't there last night.
You know, you'll have your screen. It's really pick and pop. Not even a screen and roll. Nobody's even rolling. And then you have your dribble handoff. And then, you know, somebody will take it to the basket or be a turnover. There's no real good ball movement. So, yeah. You know, on a half court, he really has to fix his half court because that's what's going to happen in the playoffs again.
But here's the problem with that, Ant. He doesn't want to fix the half court.
Well,
he wants to run.
Yeah, okay. But and when things are going well, you can run, except when you're playing a team that matches up with you, and you're going to play a half court like Toronto.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and let's kind of go off that term of kind of what we learned last night. As a matter of fact, you know, through the first 26 games, what have we kind of learned from the Sixers team? We know, in my opinion, and I think you agree, they need three players. Maybe one of those players is Fultz, because the fact that Fultz's absence causes 22-plus minutes for T.J. McConnell, problem. That's a big problem. You know, that's not a guy who's high enough pedigree for a team that's going to compete for the Eastern Conference to be playing 22 minutes. It's just a fact. I love TJ. Great. He works his rear end off, and he's defied all the odds to get where he is. But if the Sixers are going to go to the next level, they got to have a secondary ball handler that's at a much higher pedigree than TJ McConnell. That's number one. Number two, I didn't like that the reaction last night of people saying, well, Embiid he's not working. He worked his ass off. Sometimes you just don't have your game.
Sometimes you don't have your legs.
Yeah, you just don't have it. It happens.
You should know him by now that there will be games when he's gassed, and he's not a guy that's not going to work.
Now, the last thing that I'm starting to learn, and it pains me to say it, because we always go with this caveat. Well, I love Brett. He's a great guy. He went through and everything. But here's the fact of the matter. He's got a little bit of Jim Schwartz in him. He's not amenable to change. And if they're going to, especially in the playoffs, Anthony, when you're playing a team in a 7-game series, that's when coaching really becomes a big factor, because guys exploit weaknesses. They force you to have to win with your weakness. Good coaches. Look at Brad Stevens last year. Case in point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they really took Ben Simmons and said, dude, every one of your weaknesses, we're going to make you have to use those to try and beat us.
Yeah.
And Brett is not flexible in his game planning, in his analytic approach. You've talked about it. And in games where he just says, this is where I substitute Embiid, I'm going to substitute him here.
Yeah.
Whether he's smoking hot or stone cold, it doesn't matter. There's not the feel.
Well, there's a couple things here. One,
that disturbs me about Brett getting into a playoff series, because if you can take a step forward, that's a big thing.
All right, well, there's a couple things. Well, I think he's got to fix the half-court offense. When you're playing a half-court game, he's got to fix it. And it comes down to Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where the integration of Simmons. And look, I agree with this shoot. You got to shoot the ball. I mean, if you look at, it was funny. Somebody, my boy Danny sent me the shot chart for Greek Freak.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Greek Freak, I mean, he's not a good shooter. I mean, every once in a while, he's a better shooter than Ben, but he's not a really good shooter. I mean, does a lot of his damage off the drive and off attacking the rim, but he shoots. And that's where that's where Ben has to be. I mean, he keeps, you know, it's funny.
Deferring.
It's been a steady regression of shots being taken. I remember watching him in summer league and in firing away. He's got to shoot. I mean, he's got
to
shoot.
How do you get through to the kid to tell him, like, dude, we know you're not going to shoot 38%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but you have to shoot. We don't care if you shoot 26%. Or 22%, but you have to show the willingness to shoot.
Here's the thing. We don't understand sometimes when the NBA is a man's league, all right? They need repetition. And my biggest fear is that the fan base doesn't have enough patience. The patience that it warrants for these players to grow into those things.
To learn the intricacies.
Like, Ben Simmons is an incredibly skilled player.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, like, that shot has to come. But when we're looking at a game, all right, it's his second year, where's it at?
Yeah, what did he do this summer?
Right. He's got to get over a hump of taking it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the long road. Nobody wants to hear about the long road, but that's what winning in the NBA is. Look at Toronto. Toronto is a veteran team. Kawhi Leonard, right? Kyle Lowry. Look at those players. Those players are a veteran team.
Yeah.
So you gotta be patient with your two young stars.
Yeah, and that team in Toronto is a veteran team that still may not be ready to win an NBA title, because they just might not have enough talent overall. But right now they're the class of of the Eastern Conference. They, I mean, dude, Kawhi is unreal.
Yeah, I mean,
does it all.
Listen, that's why he was always regarded as the second or third best player in the league, depending.
Yes, you probably go LeBron, Durant, and then Kawhi.
Correct.
Yeah, it's he's stunning to watch and a tremendous game. And Jimmy Butler last night was great, but it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I mean, you shouldn't be down today. I mean,
you learn something,
right? Like here's the thing. I mean, if you get him in a 7-game series, at that point, you hope your roster's filled out a little bit.
Yeah,
like you need your roster.
Better be.
You have to fill out your roster a little bit. You need to build a better bench. And look, there's subtle changes. Like when Monroe is in the game because Valanciunas is foul trouble and they go to the backup, that's where Joe has to go down low and eat him for dinner.
Let's go to the man. You see him on Quick Slants. You see him on Eagles pre- and post-game live. Yeah. He joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. The Derek Gunn joins us right now. D-Gunn, how you doing today?
Fellas, how are you guys today?
We're pumped up, man, because this game is so important. And it's got the rivalry attachment, Eagles-Cowboys, and Kamu Grigier-Hill decides to throw a little gasoline on the fire with his comments. What'd you think about what he said about Dallas always choking?
There's some truth to it in recent years.
There is.
You know, when you think about it, when I initially heard it, I'm like, no, man, you didn't say that, did you? And I understand, you know, players don't need any extra motivation to play games of this magnitude. But let's face it, we know players in a lot of sports use bulletin board material for whatever the case may be. And then at times when they win a game, if they get their revenge and shut up whoever said whatever they said, they like to bring it up after they've won the game. So it's just another log and an already hot fire between these two teams. Now, if he had said that and they were playing here at the Link, I'm like, okay, you know, you got some backup. You got, you know, 70,000 fans backing you up. But you got to go down in their domain. They're already feeling themselves. They beat you here. They pulled off a shocker against the Saints. I mean, I bet you any money, Doug Peterson called him aside and said, look, man, next time, talk to me before you make a comment like that, would you?
Yeah, it's true.
No question.
It's true. Let me ask you, let's look at what, because I think the biggest thing for the Eagles offense is having Darren Sproles back, and that's a huge difference from the last time those two teams met. So how do you feel with Sproles? Because I think out of the backfield, and he's the only back that really can truly break a tackle. You saw it on the run where he scores the touchdown.
Anthony, I think Darren Sproles finally getting back gives that offense a explosiveness that it was lacking all season long. Now, how they utilize him is going to be interesting. I thought they utilized not just him, but the running backs in general very effectively, especially in the screen game against Washington Monday night. So you know Dallas's defense is studying that inside and out. So I'm going to be interested in seeing how they implement him. But you're right. I think he's a weapon. You have to get him on the field. I don't care if you line him up out wide. I don't care if you put him in the slot. Use him on a reverse, however you can get him to football. I think you got to utilize Darren because let's face it, he's the freshest guy in the locker room. He hasn't played since week one. So, you know, normally you like to give Darren Sproles about 8 to 10 touches a game. I might even consider giving him, if he's effective, I might consider giving him the ball 12 to 15 times in
right.
game against this Dallas defense because I tell you what, I think this Cowboys defense is arguably the fastest defense sideline to sideline in the NFL right now.
And Sproles is quick enough to run between the tackles because he hits the hole.
Absolutely.
And you're not saving him. What are you saving him for? Right? You've got to win this
exactly.
game.
You got to throw everything and anything. I hate to use a cliche, but you've got to throw the kitchen sink, not just at Dallas, but the Rams and Houston. You've got 3 straight division leaders right now coming up. 2 of those are on the road. And you're fighting for not just a playoff spot, you're also fighting for the possibility of winning a division. You've got to throw any and everything. Coaches always talk about how thick their playbooks are. Doug, you've got to have about 10, 15 plays in that playbook that we haven't seen this year. You may have to start incorporating those this Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing that we saw, Derek, out of Doug last week and Carson Wentz, for that matter, was a lot less RPOs and got Carson outside the pocket. Is that something we should expect going forward? Because that RPO, Anthony's talked about it 1,000 times, it was more brought in for Nick Foles last year than it was Carson Wentz. Is this something that we should maybe see going forward with less RPOs with Carson under center?
if I'm calling the plays, I'm floating them outside the pocket as much as possible. Mm-hmm. If you look at teams that have had success against Carson, they have kept him in the pocket and they've blitzed him up the middle. So he has basically nowhere to go. A lot of cases. I'm getting him outside the pocket as quick as possible because number one, if he floats outside, you're freezing the outside linebacker, you're freezing a possible cornerback and a safety. And once they take one eye off the person they're covering and start looking at what Carson's going to do, is he going to tuck and run? Is he going to throw it? By that time, the receiver they're defending is already in an open space. And Carson is so good at finding his guys in an open space. So, yes, as much as possible, I'm trying to float him outside of their pocket.
Yes, and you, here's the problem with the RPO. Now, it can be effective, but with Carson, you want to limit those because it affects his rhythm. It affects his timing. You could see it. And what last week, what really worked was him getting out of the pocket and not just designed where he was able to freelance a bit. And that allows this group of receivers that don't have great speed, but to get open. And then you're able to see Golden Tate on a touchdown. You're able to see Golden Tate along the sidelines. And that's because the less RPOs, the more rhythm, the more able that Carson can see it quicker and get out of the pocket.
I couldn't agree with you more, Anthony. I honestly don't think Carson likes the RPOs. I've never talked to him about it. I've never heard anybody in the building, you know, and I talked to a lot of the players. I've never heard anybody in the building openly say Carson does not like the RPOs. But you can tell in terms of his body mechanics and how it affects his overall play, it's not conducive to his style of play. Let that man do what he was brought here to do, what he did at North Dakota State, what he did early on in his career as he learned the nuances of the NFL game. Let him improvise if he has to. Let him create on the fly. You already trust him this early in his career in terms of stepping to the line of scrimmage and adjusting plays when he needs to. All right, consistently take it to that next step where you allow him to utilize his legs. Now, he's not nearly as fast and maybe not nearly as mobile carrying that hardware on his leg, but he can be very effective, as we just saw Monday night against a pretty good Washington defense, when you give him that ability to freestyle.
Yes, yes. All right, the opposite side of the ball. We got to talk about it. The Saints lost in the Cowboys' win over the Saints was the Saints' defense that sacked Dak Prescott 7 times, that forced him into numerous fumbles. You got to attack Dak.
You know, maybe Jim Schwartz is being coy with us, but on Tuesday, he said he likes to get pressure with his 4 guys up front, and I'm thinking, that's not the way to attack Dak Prescott. You've got to bring blitzes from every different angle because Dak does hold the ball. I think he's very indecisive in his third year. He holds the ball too much. And if that is the case, make him hold that ball. Make him hold that ball. Get the pressure on him. Maybe he'll serve up an interception. I do still worry about the back end of this Eagles defense. But if you can get in Dak's face and force him to do some things he doesn't want to do, I think you have a much better chance of winning this game. I don't think Dak Prescott is going to be the one to beat the Eagles. I do think it comes down to the Cowboys' defense and their ability to run the ball and how effectively can they get the ball to Amari Cooper on the hitch passes and the quick slants and things like that. If you let Dak get in an early rhythm with those short passes and things like that, it's going to be a long day for the Eagles' defense. But if you can get up in his face and take him off his rhythm, I think it's a much better chance for the Eagles to come out with a W.
We're talking with Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philadelphia on the Comcast Business Hotline. Derek, one of the surprises, for lack of a better term, over the past couple of weeks has been the running of Josh Adams. And, you know, he's had 2 back-to-back games with some strong efforts out there running the football. How much will we see Josh Adams this week? And, you know, will we start to see Darren Sproles a little bit more integrated into that running game? Or is this kind of Josh Adams leading the way right now, being supplemented by Corey Clement and Darren Sproles and Wendell Smallwood to some extent?
Well, it's definitely Josh Adams leading the way. The man's had 42 carries in the last 2 games. When was the last time we heard an Eagles running back have 42 carries in the last 2 games? It hasn't happened. And I know it's out of necessity. You don't have LeGarrette Blount and then a Jay Ajayi and then trickle down to the other guys. You've got guys like Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood who moved up to your 1 and 2s. Well, now this young guy's emerged. And the one thing I've noticed about Josh Adams the last 2 games in particular when I watch him run is that hesitation move before he puts his foot in the ground and turns upfield. A la Le'Veon Bell type. You know, he's very patient in allowing his blockers to get out in front of him and set up. And all of a sudden, he sticks his foot in the ground. And when he squares his shoulders and turns up, he's a pretty dynamic runner. He can be. And he's capable of running away from people as well, as we've seen. So I think you've got to test this stout Dallas interior. I hate giving the Cowboys credit for anything, but their front seven is lights out. And now you've got Sean Lee coming back as well. You're going to put Vander Esch on the bench and put Sean Lee back in there? I mean,
no.
I don't know what the Cowboys are thinking at this point, but you've got to test this Cowboys interior at least for the first 30 minutes to determine what you need to do in the second half against it.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. It's going to be interesting. I to me, it's a referendum defensively on Schwartz, because if Prescott's able to sit back there and I know he balks against the picket fence defense, but that's basically what he plays. So I'm curious to see what happens. I mean, this could spell the end of Schwartz as defensive coordinator, quite frankly, if they lose this game.
I've thought that, and I've watched, and I don't know if it's as much him being indecisive in what he needs to do in certain situations, or because he's shorthanded with personnel. And he, no matter what he tells us in front of the cameras, he maybe doesn't have that confidence in some of the personnel on the back end that allows him to do some of the.
But he's never. That's never him, though. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's an excuse, because it's his own scheme. Like, his scheme is never. He's never been a big blitzer, and so now it's even easier for him not to blitz, because he has the excuse on the back end. Like, you're going to get beat regardless. If you don't get pressure on the quarterback, that back end's not going to hold up anyway.
Yeah, I get that, Anthony. But when you're talking about going from, you know, Rodney McLeod to Corey Graham to Avante Maddox, and now you're mixing the Max and pieces, and you got guys learning on the fly, and they've had to simplify things, which has worked to their benefit in a lot of ways. They've had to simplify a lot of different things they do on defense. It does affect how you play a chess match for 60 minutes of football in a lot of cases.
I hear you. I'm not on board, but I hear you.
Stop being a downer, Anthony. Stop being a downer. I've heard you all week long talking about, you have this feeling the Eagles are going to win. Don't be a downer right now.
I'm not being a downer. No, I think they're going to win. I do, brother. I think they're going to win. I am jonesing for a different style of defense. I hate to say it, and this is not the time to talk about it, but I miss the Jim Johnson style.
Aggressive.
I do. I just missed that defense.
We all do.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that we don't have that luxury anymore.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really complained about Schwartz's defense last year when his team was only 13-3.
Yeah, but they would have had they lost the Super Bowl and they gave up 500 yards.
Or the offense didn't bail them out.
Yeah, but they
won the game, though. They won the game.
Yeah. No question about it. Hey, Derek, we'll be watching you on Quick Slants and Eagles pre and post game live. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys.
Thanks, bro. Safe trip.
I'm Michael Bennett.
Let's get to the riled up line. Andrew, if any of these people on hold want to convert their call to riled up, by all means, they can do that, all right? So Andrew will check in with you if you're on hold, and if you don't want to be converted, we'll get to you immediately thereafter. But I hope you hit the riled up line last night at 610-771-9751. I'm riled up now because I'm like pissy with people now.
Good.
Because it's like nitpicking. And like, what drives you nuts about your wife when they nitpick you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. None of us are. Let's get to the riled up line and see what came in last night.
Yeah, Joel Embiid is 5-for-17, and he got owned by the backup center. Wait for it. Jonas Valanciunas. Who? A bum. He got owned. He got bullied. Okay? Without Redick and Butler, you're losing by 30 points tonight.
Okay. Well, what do you do for a living, sir? Are you perfect at your job every day? I hope that guy goes in and slays it every day. You know what I mean? And is perfect at his job every day. Sometimes we come to work and we suck. I suck on the air on some day. A lot of people say I suck every day. But that being said, you're not perfect. He's not going to be great in 82. Jordan, I got news for you, Ant. Jordan wasn't great in 82 games every year, was he? You covered him.
He was, but he was the only person I ever saw.
He went not 82. Maybe 81, but not 82. That's a big ask, isn't it?
Yes.
Sometimes the best hitters in baseball, they take a collar, and they look ugly at the plate doing it. I mean, jeez.
Nah, we just got done talking about it. That's why I can't even react to it.
It's insane.
Seriously, come on.
Oh, my goodness. What's next?
Embiid taking that L last night. That's all on Embiid. He has an average night to win that game. He looked lazy. He looked tired. And he looked, to be honest, intimidated. Anytime he goes up against somebody outperforming him, he just can't keep up.
All right, so he was out of gas. He's not lazy. He wasn't intimidated.
Played on dead legs.
He had no legs. I mean, that's what happened. Wow. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
I'm telling you right now, riled up is going to be 6 minutes today because I don't know if I'm going to make it.
That's outrageous. People have this are upset at him. Like,
he's a mutt.
And
okay.
By the way, after the game, he even said, "I suck. I played like trash last couple weeks." The guy even owns up to he played poorly.
And we can't even respect that.
Yo, it's Ingy. Yo. Ben Simmons and Embiid are the problem. The Sixers suck, yo.
You're doing it wrong, dude. You got two characters that call into the station mixed up. The yo you're doing is Arthur from the Turnpike. He's a yo, buddy. That's Arthur.
Is he still around?
I hear him once in a while, but the yo of Ingy is just yo, yo.
Correct.
Winning doesn't even, yo, it doesn't even matter. That's Ingy. He's understated. Arthur's the yo, brother. That's, you got to get those straight, man.
By the way, the reason why the caller did that awful Ingy impression is because Ingy called the morning show today and said that the two biggest problems for the Sixers are Ben Simmons
and Joel Embiid.
And Joel Embiid.
Of course, yeah, that's Ingy. He's a minute, minuscule brain thinker. He can't get out of his own way when he's thinking about sports. He is as inane as they come. What's next?
So apparently Jimmy Butler's teaching Ben Simmons how to play defense. He needs to teach him how to grow a pair of balls. He sucks in big games. 8 points and 7 turns tonight. I need more. I love you, Ben, but I need more, man.
Please. Can you get a Mack truck in here and run me over?
Dude, I can't even pay attention to it. I mean, seriously. What's that? I mean, you're going to have, tell Ben Simmons to grow a pair. I mean, really? Big games. What big games? It was a game in December. I was into it, but it's not a death game. And, against Boston, they got out maneuvered. Seriously, God. 2 years old.
Edith and Chester's on the live line. What's up, Edith?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Edith! Love you, Edith!
You know we're gonna take this game. There's no doubt in my mind we're gonna take these counters down, baby.
Yes! That's my girl!
We don't want no we want fans, true fans. We don't want no featherweight fans, man. We want true fans calling into this show to hype our boys up, to let them go down to Dallas and wipe that counter, you know what?
Yeah! Edith, thank you. I needed your call today.
Bless your heart, Edith.
That's right. We're gonna wipe them up.
I like it. There's Edith. She's riled up.
Edith rules.
Yeah. Every time I hear the name Edith, I think of one person. Edith Bunker. From All in the Family. It always comes to it. It's like an old school name, right?
Edith is an old school name.
Yeah,
that's right.
Marge. Margaret. That's an old school name.
I think of Edith. I've know, you know, because I met her. I know her. Mm-hmm. She's better.
You got a face to the name
at the other station.
Is that right?
Yeah, we go back.
I didn't know.
I used to do the Andy Reid show and the Howie show. All those Monday night shows. She used to come to hang out.
She frequented the broadcast.
Yeah,
that's good work by her. What's next,
Georgie?
Yo, man, Carson, 425, the deer hunter. He's going to get bagged and tagged by the wolf hunter, Leighton Van Der Esch.
What?
Oh, no. Bagged and tagged by the wolf hunter. I got to give him credit. That was good.
Bag and tag him. Remember that in Platoon? When Behringer said that.
Well, that's really,
I'll be honest. I miss some good old-fashioned trash talk.
I mean,
I want to hear it.
I mean, play that again. It was good. It's worthy.
Worthy of a re-air. Wow. Yeah. That's quite the statement.
Yo, man. Carson. 425. The deer hunter. He's going to get bagged and tagged by the wolf hunter, Leighton Van Der Esch.
The wolf hunter. That's a good call. Let's take a live call. I know this man's probably riled up. because he often is, and he loves to be contrarian to our point of view. And let's go to T-Will on the live line. What's up, T-Will?
What's up, fellas? Listen, man, I wasn't going to call today, but you guys are making excuses for poor play last night. All right? Ben Simmons did come up small. Pressure bust pipes. In these pressure situations, he hasn't played big. Even in Boston last year. I don't give a damn if you keep saying, oh, it's only 1-82. It's the middle of December. Stop downplaying it. Embiid came up small last night. But on the fact that they
T-Will,
played bad
T-Will,
games.
Calm down. T-Will, listen to me. You trust me, right?
Sometimes.
You only trust me all the time? Really?
No, I don't. I don't trust myself. I only trust myself all the time. I'll trust you sometimes. Go ahead. What's your point?
Dude, I'm just trying to give you a dose of realism.
I have realism.
You don't. You don't. You're out of line. Like,
just because you say I'm out of line doesn't make I'm out of line, bro.
Okay,
like,
bro. I love you. I'm saying this as your older brother.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying as an older brother. Like,
a little out of line.
Like, when I mean out of line, I don't mean like you're completely wrong. Ben came up small last night.
And so did Joe.
And Joe didn't play well last night.
Yep.
I agree.
Okay, how hard was that to say?
I said it all morning. What you hear selectively, T-Will, is something different. What I'm telling you is don't go overboard on it. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Because you know why? It's against your best interests.
It's
because you know why? Because for every game, he had a bad game last night, Joe, right? Okay.
10 good ones.
32-19, 31. I've been around a long time. I've watched this NBA is a man's league. They got to grow into it. That's not an excuse. That's a freaking fact.
What's next?
How many young teams win the NBA title? Doesn't happen.
Jason Witten.
Monday, he went.
I gotta tell you, that was a great call. Put him in the bleeping bleeper. Baxter, yes.
The Baxter had no problem handling a few Wittens, Booger McFarland, and
the whole crew. 3,300 pounds of waste, man. 3 cube card dumpster in a bag. I can spit that out.
Wow.
No read, nothing.
Boy, you're like a stat. You're like an analytics guy over here.
I am. I'm all about the Baxter.
This is Evan Martinez, and I can't wait until I'm old enough to drive so I can get in my car and go get myself a flu shot. Thanks, Dad. Love you, too. Flyers suck.
Think Evan Martinez would say the Flyers suck? Come on, man. That was Evan checking in today. Of course, Jim from Souderton. I love his impressions because he doesn't change his voice in any way, shape, or form. But no, Evan's not going to get in the car to go give himself a flu shot. Apparently, I offended a few people yesterday with my belief system. Apparently, I'm going to bring back the bubonic plague ant. And polio's on the rise because of...
Jonas Salk, it's you.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you.
Nick Jonas.
The program director got some complaint emails, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. Because I'm now turned as an anti-vaxxer.
Wow. That's wild.
It is insane, isn't it?
That's wild.
Well, that was riled up. That was wild. Glad it's over, by the way. The riled up line today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.